Dear friends, we have been studying this blessed scripture, which is very universal in its nature, not limited to only a particular race or particular country, or even it doesn't require some prior education. What is required is the earnest desire to improve our life in the real sense. And it is obvious that every human being has this idea, this desire, that let me become a better person. And that entails some deeper thought. We need to pay more attention to what we really are. When we want to improve ourselves, we need to think what I really am. What is really the true nature of mine, and that will make our idea as to what is the essence of improvement means. Like when we want to improve, say, the function of a machine, let us say we want and that our car should run better. We all want our cars to run better. And then we see that the very fact that we need betterment means that it is not functioning optimally. It has some problems. We take it to the mechanic. Now, just if there is an inner problem with the machine of the car, with the engine or other things, then by just vacuuming the car or painting it, is not going to solve that problem. Just improving our physical condition is doing that. Improving our physical condition, like having a big nice house to stay in, or having nice clothes to put on, have very delicious food to eat, and in general keeping the body free from diseases, that is just taking care only of the this body of the car. But the function of the car doesn't really depend much on that. Even if the car is not looking very beautiful, it can still function as a car if the engine is fine, if the transmission is good, if the all those functional parts are excellent. Then even if the radio of the car is not working, or if the seats are a little bit torn, or the there are a few scratches on the body, it won't affect the main function of the car. But if it is very nicely painted and all exteriors are excellent, yet the engine is not functioning properly, then it is car only in appearance. It is not really a functionally good car. It won't function as car. It may, like many people use those trailers as homes, trailer home. It could be attached to a moving engine, and then that can become a moving house or a means of locomotion. But otherwise, if it is detached from it, then howsoever beautiful it may be, it is not capable of functioning as a means of locomotion. Similarly, if we pay attention only to our physical health, are doing gross injustice to the very purpose of living. And we can live on physical level very nicely, all the parts of our physical life are taken care of, but that won't really make us happy. That won't make us peaceful. That really won't make us better as living human beings. So therefore a deeper thought has to be given, that who really I am, what is my real nature, that which does not change. And that was the focus of our discussion during last 3-4 such classes, as to what is the permanent amidst all the changes that we see. There is that permanent entity that does not die when the body dies. This idea that we discussed for some classes is a very important thing to understand, that since I, my innermost core, does not change when the body changes, I remain the same in spite of everything around changes, in spite of the changes being taking place in my body, in my brain too, in my understanding too. Yet there is that permanent entity that senses the changes, that which understands these, or let us say become conscious of these changes. That is an unchanging reality. And therefore, since it is not affected by the changes in the body, it does not get affected even by the change called death. What is death we discussed? What normally is seen as the physical death, we discussed for a long time about it in last few classes, that the severance or disjoining of the embodied soul from the gross body, taking with it the subtle and the causal body, and putting it into another gross body. This is what is happening when a person dies or a person is born. When somebody is born or somebody dies, what happens is this connection between, to make the matter simplified, by using subtle body, you may think of some shape inside the body, kept specially inside the body. No, it is not space-wise, it is not inside the body. Just as when you see a football game on TV, those football players are not space-wise inside the TV. You can open the TV and try to find one of them, you won't find. You may like to congratulate that person right there for the wonderful game. And so open the back of the TV, you won't find any of them. They are not space-wise, they are not in that. A lot of people have this confusion that where is the mind? I cannot see it. Just ask yourself this question. Do you see Tom Brady when you open the TV? You don't see him by opening the TV there. It is, you can break it into smallest of the pieces. You won't find that fellow there to congratulate him for the nice game. So, our great neuroscientists, they analyze everything in exactly the same manner to find out what the mind is. And they see that it is nothing but brain. There is nothing apart from this brain that gives the sense of being, having as if there is something like mind. It is, if we do not want to probe deeper, that is what is going to be the condition of this research too. And we limit ourselves, just as if you limit yourself that I will not go beyond this TV to find Tom Brady, then you won't find it there. You will see that it is just creation of those all electronic parts there that has configured a figure. You can show by analysis that what part of the machine it is creating this and creating that. Excellent, very nice. But you will not get the answer that who is that person then. It is similarly, all this consciousness is not a product. It is the primal cause. It is not product of brain, as it is seen by some neuroscientists, but it is prior to brain. It is through brain it manifests or functions. And the destruction of brain doesn't do the slightest harm to it. Just as you may destroy thousands of TVs, in fact all TVs, the team that loses their supporters, and they feel, sometimes it happens, they get so disgusted with the performance of their team. I heard sometime that the Colts lost and somebody broke the TV. Was very eagerly watching the match. And then so that fellow, when the last, there was a big that paperweight on the desk, he took the paperweight and hit at the TV. And what happened? Did any of those players got injured because of that? It is nothing like that. So, similarly, thousands of bodies may come and go. All the brains may get destroyed. You don't die because of that. Not only you, even the mind doesn't die because of that. That also is a body of a subtler type, made of information. Made of information. Just as the software is independent of hardware, there are various ways in which you can keep the software. It doesn't get killed if you destroy the computer. It will stop its functioning from that machine, but that doesn't mean that it is destroyed. So, similarly, we need to understand. It is such a simple thing, friends, but yet it is so difficult to appreciate simply because we are terribly, terribly attached to our body. We consider I to be body to such an extent that identification is so deep that therefore anything apart from that is summarily rejected. So therefore Sri Krishna points out to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us, and this is the Bhagavad Gita is told to Arjuna, but Arjuna is only an excuse. Everybody who is eager to have this knowledge like Arjuna, they will have this. So Arjuna is our representative there. So through Arjuna this idea is told to us again and again, that you are not this body. Keep this thought in your mind, and then the whole perspective will change. There will be many questions arising about reincarnation. We discussed many of them, and we will have occasion in Bhagavad Gita study again and again to discuss them, especially while studying the 8th chapter and the 15th chapter. So we shall move now further from this, that the next verses, next four verses give the idea of the unchanging, the reality, that which is independent of the changing body. That is the core of our being. So, in the second chapter we were seeing those, the verses from 23rd, that focuses on that. The 22nd verse shows that just as the garments are cast aside and new ones are taken, so similarly the body, and that is also a garment, a clothing, made of skin, blood, bones and all that. So, but a garment, basically a garment, it is also changed and a new one is taken. So, now what then is the core? The core is told, Nainam chindanti shastrani, Nainam dahati pavakah, Na chainam kledayantyapo, Nashoshayati marutah. Weapons do not cut it. Fire does not burn it. Water also does not moisten it. And wind does not dry it. Achedyoyam adayoyam akledyo shosha evacha Nitya sarvagata sthano achaloyam sanatanah avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam nanu shochitum arhasi. This self is indeed incapable of being cut, of being burnt, of being moistened, and of being dried. It is eternal, all-pervading, stable, immovable and primordial. This self is said to be unmanifest, unthinkable and unchangeable. Therefore, knowing it to be such, you ought not to grieve. So, these things are told here to emphasize that whatever changes you see on the surface, they do not touch the core of your being. It remains just intact. Nothing happens to it. It is just as nothing happens to the screen when lot of fighting goes on in the movie. The screen just remains the same. Similarly, nothing happens to us really. When so many things are seen to be going on, and therefore Arjuna is told, don't grieve. All these four verses that we read just now, they point out to this central truth. Don't grieve because what you are seeing is an illusion. It is only a superficial thing that you are seeing. My mom also used to tell me while seeing a movie, as a small child, if I would go to see movie, and very painful scenes in movie, all the Hollywood stuff or Bollywood stuff or whatever, they have a formula, that there should be a lot of crying and lot of laughing and all that. So the conflicts have to be there. There is a technique of writing the story or the script, so that there should be the stretching and releasing, and the tension has to be increased and decreased. Those who are expert, skilled writers, they know all that thing. So when to give a relief to the viewers, how long they are to be stretched, to how to take the whole thing to a crescendo, and all that is a technique. So as a child, I would see a movie and seeing the painful scene would start crying. And then my mom would say, "Oh, it is nothing, it is only the screen. Don't cry, dear. It is nothing, it is not real there, it is only screen." So that exactly the same thing is told. This is a big movie shown on a big IMAX theater. Is it not, Triveni? Yeah, it is that. It is a big screen, that's all. Do we not go to see the big screen with wonder, pay lot of money for that, and see, this is a much bigger screen called universe, and a big movie is going on this screen. Nothing is real in it. It is this screen alone is real, that is the self. So, on this screen of the self, and why it is called self? See, that is the unchanging, ever-present part there. You never have an experience without I. That I is the constant, unchanging factor. All others are images coming and going. The only thing that is that everybody is fully aware of and yet is not the product of any sense perception, that is this I. It is a very important thing to feel and understand that the awareness of I is not a product. It is a priori to every other understanding. A priori, that is, it is taken. After that, it is, everything else is built on that, and that is all changing. So, that just as there is the screen already there, it is, the movie does not produce the screen, The screen is already there, the movie is seen on that. So this all movie, all the joys and sorrows of it, all the elations and depressions of it, all these loves and wars of that, all the attractions and repulsions are all our research is also part of this movie. We are discussing Bhagavad Gita is also part of the movie. The reality is what, Triveni? Self alone is the reality. That screen pervades all appearances. So, this is the knowledge that will bring liberation to us, and nothing else. Nothing else, friends. If not this knowledge, no escape from bondage. And if this knowledge comes, we are then free. This knowledge is freedom. This experience is freedom. Put that is in capital letters. It is freedom. It is not that this will bring freedom as an effect. It is not cause and effect like situation. It is freedom. Just feel it, and we will be able to feel this freedom right here. Just think of this truth, and we are free. But, alas, Sri Krishna knows our condition. The mind is not ready to stick to this experience. It falls back. No. All understood but doesn't function. The thinking keeps again and coming on the body. That it is all wonderful knowledge. But people ask questions sometimes when they ask on phone. It is all nice. How much I will have to pay to attend the class? That is the $5 or $10 or whatever. Feel so relieved, you know. No, you don't have to pay anything. Feel so relieved that it is. Because that is the we feel that is very real, you know. That is, this knowledge is not felt as real. When engrossed completely in the movie, not aware of the screen, that things in the movie alone seem to be very real. So, these things appear to be very real. So, Sri Krishna understands that we are likely to again reject this knowledge. And we'll say, okay, maybe it is a good thought, but now I have to go and first have my lunch, then I will think about it, or have my supper and then think about it. Or if I know this, what will happen to my relationship with this boy or this girl? Big problem, you know, that what will happen then to my this house or that home or my job. It is all these ideas, they overpower the knowledge. The scenes in the movie seem to question the very existence of the screen on which it is being played. But that is how the delusion functions, ignorance functions. And scriptures are very compassionate. They understand our weakness, our conditions, and so do not reject us. They do not say that, you don't understand, I have been telling 3 times, enough. No. They know that this poor Yogatmananda has to understand it with great difficulty. This poor Yogatmananda is habituated to so many things. Those impressions are not easy to go. So therefore, Sri Krishna tells, okay, let us see, even if you consider yourself to be body, the treatment is to be given on 2 different levels. That one is the palliative treatment and one is curative treatment. In medical you hear these words. When there is curative treatment, very good. But then first palliative treatment also is a necessity, If the tooth is going to be extracted, then that anesthetic is injected there, and so that the pain would not be felt. Now only if you keep on injecting the anesthetic, that nevoquine, that will not solve the problem, you know. And that is the difficulty with us. Putting in nevoquine is good, but then solve the problem, go to the curative level. If you don't do that and keep on pushing the palliative all the time, and that is what happens. And that is what we keep on doing. You feel dejected, go on a cruise trip somewhere, and then for a time, that is a palliative, you know. Most of the practicing psychologists prescribe only palliatives, not curatives. Tell that, well, take this pill and sleep nicely and things will be okay. For a little while they look okay then. No curatives are supplied, thinking that, well, palliatives will do. Palliatives are necessary, I understand. So now Sri Krishna is giving and telling what is the curative. Now a palliative is given because Arjuna has already started feeling the pain of it, even before the dentist has picked up the fork to pull out the tooth. The pain is psychological, you know, already. Foot may not be there, but the pain in the foot can be there, you know. The phantom pain is a very interesting phenomena. The pain is felt even just by the thought. I know many people who even take the name of surgery and start feeling pain inside, you know. Not that they have not been subjected to any such thing, but they feel pain immediately. So, even the very thought of everything unreal appears to be so painful. So, Sri Krishna gives a palliative. Okay, Arjuna, let us consider that you don't agree with what I have told, and most of us don't agree immediately. Okay, I will think about it, we will say. That is a very nice American expression. When I have to say no, then instead of saying no, I say, okay, I will think about it. It took me a long time to understand these phraseologies. If I say ask somebody, okay, will you come for this? I would like you to come. And then if somebody says, yes, I think I will be able to come, then that person is likely to come. If the person says, oh, I will think about it, That means it is another way of saying, I am not going to come. We will tell Sri Krishna, what you said, I will think about it. Means I really don't agree with you. I am not going to argue with you, but I will think about it. So Sri Krishna tells, okay, I understand that you don't agree. Even if suppose you consider yourself to be born and dying, just body, then also why grieve? You were grieving. Our problem is that we keep on grieving. Grief is the central feature of our existence here. It is howsoever you may flash smiles, it is all very sad all around. See, just think of it, that how many people in the world, our own these brothers and sisters, our own kind, how much suffering all of us have to undergo. World is full of sufferings at various different levels. So this suffering cannot be denied at all. So this grief that we face, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, okay, suppose you consider yourself to be body, then again why grieve? Because it is going to happen, you know. You cannot prevent it for the body. Is it not clear to you? And just even the observation itself is enough for that. In case of the body, these decays and sufferings and diseases cannot be prevented. It is an inevitability. Then why grieve for something that is inevitable? This is how Buddha, in that beautiful story, I keep on thinking of that story whenever I feel sadness on any reason. That story is the great lesson by which one can apply a palliative as well as curative medication to it. The story, I won't go into the details of that, but that lady, because of her son having died, had come to Buddha. Terrible suffering, you know, the dying of one's own offspring, unbearable suffering, friends. It is those who have known it, they alone can understand. So difficult for a mother to bear those things. And so imagine this mother coming to Buddha, that, well, what can I do now? I am suffering. Now Buddha tells her, okay, the suffering removes all our logical faculty, our rationality cannot do anything there. So Buddha also tells, okay, you want your son to be alive again? Yes. Okay, then, and go and get just 5 mustard seeds. Mustard seeds is a very common spice found in all Indian homes. So that is the commonest thing that you will find in any home. Get 5 mustard seeds from any home, and then I will cure your son. I will make him live again. It's okay, simple thing. And not any home, any home where nobody has seen death till now. That home. Now you know it is after trying, because of the grief, she went to try this thing. And then it dawned upon her that death is an inevitability. Even if somebody is your near and dear, dying is inevitability. There is, you cannot stop that at all. So, then Buddha told, look, suffering is universal. Know that it is universal. These 3 things alone, this can cure suffering's front. No, nothing else. And that message of Buddha is indeed the best way to remove sufferings. That suffering is universal. Who has not suffered at all? Is there anybody in our congregation here who had in the whole life never grieved for a moment? Everybody has to shed tears sometimes, suffer sometimes. It is universal. That alone brings some satisfaction, you know. If you alone are suffering, then that, why I alone? Why am I? Why to me? That was many people ask this question. and that they feel that they alone are at that butt of injustice. Why to me? Why it should happen to me? Well, look around you. Everybody has suffered in this world. This world is that. Suffering is a universal and inevitable. Can you remove it? Inevitable. You cannot avoid it. Is there a pill to get rid of suffering? No, friends. Suffering is universal and unavoidable. And it is temporary. Nobody suffers permanently. Nobody can suffer permanently. That is again a psychological truth, that the suffering is not permanent. Everything in the world is impermanent. Just as the joy is impermanent, suffering also is impermanent. So Sri Krishna also points out here this truth, that even if you, because of the identification with the body, consider that you are born and you die, okay, then this is inevitable, universal fact. Then why grieve for it? If you do not want to look at the truth, you don't look at the deeper truth. Look at the superficial truth then. It is inevitable that everything that is born and dies. So why grieve over it? It is nitya jatam, atha chainam nitya jatam, nityam va manyase mritam, tathapi tvam mahabaho naivam shochitum arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mritasya cha, tasmada pariharyerthe natvam shochitum arhasi. If, however, you think that it, the self, is perpetually born and perpetually dies, even then, O mighty armed one, you ought not to grieve for it. For to one who is born, death is certain, and to one dies, rebirth is certain. Therefore, over this inevitable fact, you ought not to grieve. Inevitable fact. One may question here the second statement that Sri Krishna has told, even if we may believe it, we may not believe it, it is not essential for the conclusion, that every one who is born is sure to die. That is easy for us to understand. But if we have problem with the idea of rebirth, then one may not like to hear this statement that everybody that is dead is going to be reborn. We discussed that many times, and we will have occasion to discuss it again. But the conclusion that remains, even if you don't accept that later part, that so no need to grieve about something that is inevitable. It is inevitable. So don't grieve over it. Now, after giving this palliative, again he turns to the main theme. Just giving palliative is not right. And just to soothe the feelings, okay, a little bit can be given like that, but that is the main thing is the curing, the removal, the eradication of disease is important. So God, Lord Krishna, turns to that again.
Avyattadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva
तत्र का परिदेवना. Now, from that idea that, okay, if you think yourself body, and born and die, change, then what do you see here? And this is the beauty of a teacher, that this great teacher takes you from where you are to the level of knowledge. It is wherever we are, our present level of understanding is accepted for further evolution, for enlightenment. It is nobody is rejected, but nobody is kept like that. It is can the teacher accept us as we are? Yes, this divine teacher accepts us as we are, but he is not going to keep us as we are. That is, the doctor will accept us as we are, excellent, but if he keeps us as we are, then why go to doctor in the first place? It is, he is not going to keep us as we are. We go there ignorant, come out as a person of knowledge, a wise person. That is our principal of our college. He gave a talk to the freshmen, and he told there that this college is a machine, you know, is kind of a factory. And there was a cement factory there. So he gave the example that, look, that rock and the sand, the limestone, and that goes there. And then the bags of cement come out from the machine. So similarly, you are that raw material coming, getting at one end. At the freshman's gate, you get in. And then at the other end of the machine, you will get out. In between, you will be crushed and all that, you know. That if you don't refuse to be crushed, then you are discarded, you know. There is a discarding thing, that dropouts and all. Those who refuse to get crushed and get trained, and there is in the on that conveyor belt, there is that weaning out process. And that gets thrown out there. So, but otherwise everything is crushed. So this great teacher is taking us as we are. But the transformation, the awareness will get transformed. And then we will come out as, and we will come out, friends, no doubt about that. This is perfect machine, you know. And we will come out as person of knowledge. So that is the transformation of life takes place. The scriptures is not just an academic study, that you read, get a degree and get a job and then live the same kind of life. This is a big difference between the knowledge of physical science and knowledge of spiritual science. A physicist, even after knowing that the whole universe is just electron, protons, and all those whatever the quantums, nothing but the quantas. Before knowing this, and after knowing this, the life does not change. Same sunset life goes on with the different information, that's all. That information does not become functional in life. But spiritual knowledge is not that. It transforms the awareness, who am I and what the world is, what the purpose of life is, all that is transformed, and thus the life is now transformed, taken at a very different level. This is the difference between these two knowledge. And we will continue to study this by the grace of God. Next Friday again we shall try to meet. Any questions? So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।